Glass, 352-0836.
Mainly sunny skies today with daytime highs approaching 60. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tonight, lows around 31, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 37. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Currently it's 40.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Busy night last night for volleyball. Huron Tigers returned home, hosting Sioux Falls Roosevelt at the arena. Big comeback by Huron as they outlast Roosevelt in five. Roosevelt took the first two sets, 25-18, 25-18. And in the third set, led at one point 12-5. That's when the rally began for Huron, using a lot of their bench for the first time this season. Huron came back to win that third set, 25-22, took the fourth, 25-21. And in the fifth set, 15-13, Huron outlasts Roosevelt in five. Huron now 14-6 on the season. Area scores last night. Miller ranked number 2 in Class A, defeated number 5 Class B Ethan. Straight sets 25-14, 19-21. Kimball White Lake wins in straight sets over Wessington Springs, 25-12, 15, and 21. Sunshine Bible swept Flandreau Indian School last night by a score of 25-11, 10, and 15. Redfield defeated Clark Willow Lake 25-17, 22, and 13. Bridgewater Emory defeated Sanborn Central Woonsocket in 4, 25-16, 23-25, 25-11, 25-13, and DeSmit defeated Iroquois Dolan. Straight sets 25-12, 8, and 10. Double A scores. The East-West Invitational started yesterday. You have teams from the East hosting teams from the West. Brandon Valley and Harrisburg hosting all the matches. Brandon Valley went 3-0 yesterday, defeating Douglas and Sturgis in 2, Rapid City Central in 3. Brookings went 3-0 yesterday, defeating Douglas, Sturgis, and Rapid City Central in 2. Harrisburg defeated Spearfish in 2. Rapid City Stevens defeated Harrisburg and Yankton in 2. Yankton defeated Spearfish in 2. Finally, top-ranked Watertown went 3-0, defeating Rapid City Central, Sturgis, and Douglas in 2. The rest of the matches, for most teams, 2 matches to get in today to wrap up that invitational. Also last night, Sioux Falls Washington defeated Mitchell, straight sets 25-18, 18, and 14. O'Gorman, number 2 in AA, defeated top-ranked Class A Sioux Falls Christian, straight sets 25-20, 18, and 16. Sioux Falls Lincoln defeated Pierre 25-11, 26-24, 25-14. That's the rundown of high school volleyball last night. Class A Cheer and Dance was held yesterday in Aberdeen, and familiar teams, familiar names at the top at the end of the day. Class A Grand Champion Cheer, Sioux Valley, won their 13th straight title, 293.5, well ahead of runner-up Del Rapids, 227.5, Parkston third at 226. Parkston was the small squad champ at 226. Wolsey Wessington, in their first year in competitive cheer, comes in second in small squad at 212, Bonham third at 210.5. In dance, Dakota Valley won their 10th straight title, 279.82, well ahead of runner-up Platte Geddes at 226. Dakota Valley won Palm, Jazz, and Kick. Winner won Hip Hop in the individual round. So that's the rundown of our scores from yesterday. We'll look at today's schedule. 2 more state events out there. Huron and Broadland Creek Golf Course are host to state cross country as runners coming in from all across the state. Huge event. They will be running at Broadland Creek, I believe, starting at 12 noon today. At Aberdeen Central, they'll be hosting AA State Cheer and Dance. Huron Tigers will be up for that competition. And there is volleyball in the area. Miller is at Aberdeen Roncalli. And Woolsey Wessington hosting an invitational. James Valley Christian, Hitchcock Tulare, and Woolsey Wessington will all get matches in today in Woolsey against a variety of schools from across the state. A few other notes to pass along. A reminder regarding all playoff football and volleyball games. Huron hosting a football playoff for the first time in 17 years next Thursday. Regular season passes are not accepted. All spectators will need to purchase a game ticket. Admission is set by the South Dakota High School Activities Association for the football playoff game next Thursday. Adults $7, students $5. Students are grades 1 through 12. And one other note, Tiger War Booster Club having their postseason potluck for cheer and dance. That'll be Tuesday, the Middle School Commons, and will begin at 5:30. Coming up, it is a jam-packed Dakota Sports Saturday show today. With state events going on, we'll be talking with cheer and dance coaches Megan Smith and Whitney McDonald. With state cross-country, we'll be talking to head Huron coach Angie Thomas. And then we'll review Huron Tiger volleyball, their big win last night with head coach Shelley Budenhagen. And Huron Tiger football with their big win Thursday night with head coach Scott Spanton. Dakota Sports Saturday getting underway at about 8:15 this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And Dakota Sports Saturday starts here, and we'll kick things off. First off, Huron Tiger Volleyball. Rousing win for the Huron Tiger Volleyball team last night, down 2-0. And they get to the third set, find themselves down 12-5, use the bench extensively, and rally to win over fourth-ranked Roosevelt. And Shelley, all those little stats, I'm sure, just puts a smile to your face. The entire team contributed last night.
Yeah, all 16 of those kids contributed in their own way and just did their jobs. And, you know, we ran out of sets. You know, Bryn Ghost and came in on the left with only one set, and she contributed in that set. I mean, a lot she did. And I think she had to receive, she had to dig, she had to swing, so that was fun. And then Jasmine Gurr out in the right went out there and had a couple kills and put up a couple blocks. And you know, we're not really worried right now about block kills. We're just trying to get a hand up on the ball and trying to slow some things down. And so Jazz does her job, and you know, it's always nice to have basically two setters out there, and that's kind of what she brings when she's in there.
And, you know, they're just, you know, for people that aren't familiar with the rules of volleyball, and I think I surprised you by knowing a few of the rules last night.
Yeah, you did really well.
But substituting is not as simple as you would think in volleyball. Volleyball is just like basketball in that how much, you know, how many sets a girl can play in the evening. And so that's where you're limited. A girl can play seven sets in a night. And, you know, and obviously depending on how lower levels go, kind of depends what numbers are available there when you get to the varsity. And I know you and Coach Lean were talking last night afterward, and you just kind of hit the perfect storm. Sophomore JV both went three. That doesn't usually happen when the varsity goes five.
Right. And then, you know, in Huron, and, you know, you can look at it one way, you can look at another, but here's the deal is that we like the number of kids that we have out. Mm-hmm. But now that means some of the freshmen get to play too. You know, some will play with freshman A and then run up to the sophomores and play with the sophomores. And then some of the sophomores will play sophomore and play with the JV. But in our case, they're all getting to play a ton of volleyball, which is really, really cool. So at the lower levels, we don't have kids sitting on the bench and just waiting to play. Everybody gets to play. But with that brings, then you have to have careful consideration in it of, you know, some nights we've held out having Gainey from a match here or there just in case something is going to go wrong. And, you know, if you've got an injury, something could go wrong with the numbers. So it's a puzzle, and I love puzzles. And last night it just happened to fit. That jigsaw puzzle went really, really well last night where, you know, you put in Jazz first, and then you put in Bryn first, and then you know you've got Heaven Gainey that can come in. I mean, she only had one. The good thing was Jazz had two.
Almost like intuition last night.
It was just the weirdest thing, and I kept looking back after when that third set is. I looked up back at the coaches going, get it organized, like, help me out, get it organized so that we're ready to go in that. Because then we only have like a minute and a half to get our roster turned in. So you've got not a lot of
What I noticed is after we went down two sets to none, I noticed, I don't know that if you coaches hardly even talked to the kids, it looked like your coaches were just huddled. How are we going to set up our rotation for set three?
That's exactly, well, it was not just setting up for 3, 4, 5. And I don't know, you know, we talked about the three categories, but I was okay. Let's get organized for 3, 4, 5 now and making sure that we've got our numbers. And we knew that Maddie Huber only had four sets. We knew that Lexi Gilbert only had four sets, and we wanted them to contribute in that back row. And this has been kind of a long time coming here. Because those two have been just getting better and better in practice, and the biggest key is serve receive and their tenacity in the back row. And so we felt like they were ready. So that was a plan that was probably going to happen last night.
Well, you know, and it really is a swap where it allows Elena Dale and Brooke Schultz to mainly concentrate on their front row duties, but yet they're still in serve receive depending on the rotation and everything. But, you know, it gave you options.
Right, it gave us a lot of options. And you know, we like Brooke Schultz in the back row because you've got that back row attack, but then Elena and McKenna have been quietly working on their back row attack. And then, you know, it's just sometimes in volleyball, the subbing, you know, you can lose momentum so fast. Just like, you know, what happened to Roosevelt? You just lose the momentum. Mm-hmm. So I think those were tight sets. I can't remember the scores, but it felt like we were in control, and then we weren't in control. And then we were in control, and then we weren't in control. But, it just allows kids to get off their feet, watch the defense and see what holes we have open, catch their breath, gain their composure, and come back in. And, you know, it's going to be interesting now how this, you know, formulates the rest of the season. But it's just so cool to see so many kids be able to contribute. And I don't want to forget a name here. You know, little Bryn Huber had to go in and serve.
And she served in pressure situations.
Yeah. And then we knew that we had Peyton Schuchart, who serves a lot in practice. If we needed a serve or two, we knew that. And then Jada Henrich was working her tail off on the bench and we're, you know, working to create energy as much as we could. And so it was just so cool to have all 16 kids. And like I said, I don't want to forget anybody's names that went in, because everybody that went in was really, really important. But then again, I don't want to underestimate the kids that were on the floor holding things together and not panicking. You know, it was there was a quiet, subtle change that I don't think a lot of people knew, but we flipped Libby and Emily. And so it took Libby's serving duties away, basically, but we liked her on the floor immediately, and then we liked having those three, because sometimes they have to go up with single blocks, or, you know, and then Emily's range as far as along the net has been getting better and better, and so we just liked having a little bit more vertical on those rotations with Tenley. And so that was a subtle change. I don't know if we talked about that before the match, but that was something that was going to happen. So we knew Maddie and Lexi were going to have to go in and serve anyway. But and then Reese got in and served too.
She ran out of sets.
So we also have Reese as an option as a hitter. But at that moment, at that time, we had to use her in the back row. So, you know, it just sometimes the stars align, and they did last night for us.
You know, and not to take anything away from Roosevelt, they're ranked number 4. They were ahead of us in seed points at number 3 going into last night. That was a quality club that we came from way behind, not only 2-0, down 12-5 in the third set. That is backs against the wall.
Yeah, well, you know, watching the Watertown Sioux Falls Roosevelt match, Sioux Falls could have won. I mean, they're that good.
Yeah.
And on film, I was so concerned with their outside hitters and the speed and the placement of the balls. And so I thought our back row did a pretty good job of handling their outside hitters. Now, I think Wilson had 17-plus kills.
Yeah, we had a tough time with her the first two sets.
But, you know, sometimes you just... in the first two sets, we were just trying to learn what the heck was going on, basically. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to give a hitter those so that you can get the others. And that was kind of what we were trying. I mean, we were trying to give her kills, but we knew that one of those hitters was going to get hot. And we were trying not to panic when that happened because we felt our hitters could match at a certain time. And then, you know, Elena and Brooke come off the bench again with a very positive attitude. And they weren't in a pity party, which could easily happen with volleyball players when, mm-hmm. when they get taken out of there. You know, sometimes the egos and just their roles, it's so fragile. But I thought those kids handled things with a lot of mental toughness and came out, and Elena Dale just boomed some balls, and Brooke Schultz, I think she went from 5 kills to 11 really fast.
Well, you say Elena boomed a few, but yet maybe her best one was almost like a change-up tip right at the end of the fifth set.
Yeah. You know, she loves to tip. And yeah,
Emily faked and Elena tipped over the block.
Yeah, that was, we watched that play last night when, you know, I obviously couldn't sleep when we got home, but, Tenley's a coach's kid and she's the setter, and so we happened to sit down and watch some film, and we watched that play over and over because we were looking to see if the ball should have gone to Emily on that play.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Elena did a really good choice, or made a really good decision of tipping the ball at that time. And we had been talking about swinging, tipping, and we were very swing-orientated last night, which I kind of liked.
Yeah,
I really liked that. But then she just chose to tip at just the perfect time and at the perfect place. That was a great decision, and I guess all the times that we practice that or she chooses to do that has really paid off at the right time. Again, perfect storm.
And as we look ahead, hard to believe, one home match left, 3 matches total left, 1 match week next week as you travel to Mitchell on Tuesday for what's going to be a very noisy match, but kind of like where we're at right now, you still need to, you know, still some things to work on. There always are with those 3 matches. Get the best seating possible. We look very good for a home match in the SODAC 16. We aren't going to say it's going to happen yet because anything can happen, right. But right now we're sitting at number 3, and there's still some things you can work on.
Well, you know, in practice we're talking about we control our destiny. When we got home from the Rapid trip, you know, we were stung a little bit with that Rapid City Stevens thing, but I think we also caught a team that was pretty hot at the time. I know. I'll be very curious to see how today goes.
Yeah, they play Watertown today, and too bad it's only a 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Because I thought they control the ball a little better than Watertown. If you compare the two mm-hmm. matches, I thought they also served. I mean, I think we handled it on that day, but I don't think we handled it as well as we wanted to. But so that's going to be a good one. But anyway, after we got back from that trip, we just said, look, we can control our destiny. Let's not worry about anything else. And then I stopped looking at the, you know, rankings, at the...
Good thing I brought it up then.
Yeah, and I told the kids, stop it, get off. Just
you say that every year.
I know, but it was true. I was starting to get myself all in a tizzy because what if, and you go to dark places at times when you do that. So I told the kids, stop it, stop looking, just follow my example, and let's just control what we can control and work as hard as we can. And same thing, good teams are going to find ways to get better in these last couple weeks. Good teams are going to control what we can. These 3 matches aren't necessarily going to be easy. We think Mitchell's a very well-improved team.
Mitchell and Pierre are 2 teams we play a lot going back to middle school.
Yeah, and Pierre's good. And I don't care what anybody says, mm-hmm. they are a scary team. And for some reason, we struggle with that high, you know, sets and power volleyball.
They're maybe way too much like us.
Well, they don't run the fast offense. But they are. But, you know, Roosevelt was very similar to us in running a lot of things. And then Brandon Valley, they're tall. You know, they come across the net with 6'1", 6'2". And
they still have all the left-handers.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, Jazz is going to be busy again. You know, talk about a kid that just plays their role and is able to play lefty. But, yeah, so I think what I take comfort in, the kids are continuing to work. And so when we say things like, we only have 3 left, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's say that we've got
Still have three left.
Yeah, we still have three left to get better. And, you know, we'll have one day to prepare for Mitchell. And like I said, I think they're getting kind of scary just because they have nothing to lose and they've got some really good athletes who jump.
And it's rivalry.
And it's a rivalry. It's going to be in their small gym. And but, you know, I like our chances finishing out these next three simply for the fact that we've got, you know, Haven on our team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she tends to just, you know, I guess, give us a lot of composure and poise at certain times. And then I think it showed last night. I mean, she made some incredible plays. When I watch film, again, it's one of those things that you take kids for granted, or things are happening so fast, you can't just go, oh, man, that was really awesome. You're just moving to the next play. But when I was watching film last night, Haven made some incredible plays. And so, you know, when it came down, I thought last night our Libros were going to maybe even themselves out, and then the two setters were going to even themselves out. I know in the preseason poll, at the double A, the two Sioux Falls O'Gorman setters were 1-2. Denovan was number 3 and Tenley was number 4, and then Denovan and Tenley flipped throughout the season and how they're ranking. Whoever is they are ranking, it doesn't really mean a whole hill of beans. But I thought
hill
those two.
Hill of beans, wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's an old one, probably. But
that's back in the old country.
Yeah, but I thought those two neutraled each other's out. But I thought last night, when it went to Libero to Libero, Haven did a really good job, and I'm really glad she was on our team. And, you know, there's been some question whether or not we move her to the left back, but it seems like our middle back, she's just able to make so many plays in so many different parts of the floor that we really like having her back there. But, yeah, and so I like our chances coming down the stretch here. And you say we've got three matches left in the regular season. We're saying seven because we're talking about let's not make one match more special than the other. So that's what we're talking about. Right now, our lucky number is seven.
I know. I read the schedule.
And I'm not trying to correct you. I'm just telling you a little bit of our philosophy that we're going to. So we're just working on making one match not more special than the other. So these next three aren't more special. We just have to control our destiny and make sure we're trying to get better. And those kids will come in with a list of five things that we got to get better on Monday, and we're going to work on those things.
Shelley Budnagin, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Nice win last night, coming from behind to win in 5 over Roosevelt. Tuesday at Mitchell, we'll have it on Tiger 95. Lots more coming up. Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Huron is host to state cross country out of Broadland Creek later today. Already several teams got into town last night. Many got a chance to work out on the course yesterday. We talked with Angie Thomas, head coach for Huron Tiger Cross Country. And Angie, first off, kind of looking back at this season, there were challenges for everybody in cross country this year that had nothing to do with running.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, the weather has not been very cooperative for us this season. It's been very wet, but like you said, it's been for all of us. We've all had to deal with it. We did lose one meet early in the season, and it was Aberdeen, which we were really upset about because we were supposed to have ESD there. But because of the snow, ESD ended up being moved to Brookings instead. So I guess in the end, it all worked out for us.
As far as our Huron course, it is a different course than what we normally use at Broadland Creek. The good news is, if you want to look for good news, I guess, it is the same course we've used for the Clyde Cotton, then the five-star Roger Lecker last week in state meet today. So at least it's the same course we've used all season.
Yeah, and we had a great turnout for our Clyde Cotton Invitational back in September. And we had, I think, 22 teams at that time. So quite a few teams have run on the course that we redesigned, or I should say that Terry Rodert redesigned for us so we could host meets. So thanks to Terry Rodert and his group of people that worked really, really hard to make sure that we had a course that we could run on today.
You know, and this course now, just talk about it a bit. Does it run faster? Does it run slower? I would imagine the original course probably had a few more challenges to it.
Yeah, it was definitely more challenging with the other course. There was a big hill that we ended up having to take out because we can't cross over any bridges. So because of that, it did take out that big hill. There is still a slight hill that the kids have to run on, but I truly believe that it's a faster course. And I do know the spectators like this course better. They're able to see the athletes in more positions. And even for the coaches, it's easier to get to different spots quicker.
Let's talk about the Huron Tigers. First off, with the girls, unfortunately, will not be able to field a full team. You do have four girls that will be running.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that I wasn't able to fill a team. We're going, by looking at the numbers, there's 120 girls, and we're the only AA school not filling a team. So, you know, that's disturbing, but looking into the future, I hope that's going to change. We don't have anyone graduating, so, you know, we just got to get everybody back and add to our roster. But right now I'll have Tori Buffington running, and she was the JV ESD champ, ran a personal best. Unfortunately, she wasn't feeling very well, and she ended up going to the doctor, and she has bronchitis. So she's been taking it easy this week. She has done some running, but I haven't pushed her very hard because, you know, today's kind of the big day for her. So hopefully she's feeling up to it and can go out there and just gut it out. She's a competitor, so I believe she will. Brooklyn Botel, new to cross country this year as a junior, and she has been phenomenal for our program, not only as far as her attitude, but also her work ethic. And again, she's a competitor. At the ESD meet, she was our JV runner-up. She came in right behind Tori Buffington, and she ran a PR there. At the Roger Lecker meet last week, she was the champion in the JV race, and she ran a personal record in the 5K race. Tatum Peterson, I kept her at middle school all season. She's an eighth grader, and she was fifth at ESD. And she's just been improving with each meet all season. The last 5K she ran was back in August at the Andes Road Race that we had. So this will be her first 5K she's run since then. And then Hannah Schoenfelder, she's a seventh grader. I kind of talked about her at our potluck. You know, in sixth grade she was here, she had fun, and she just kind of went out and ran. Well, this year as a seventh grader, she's going out and she's competing, and she's really earned this spot, this chance to run on the state team, and I'm really excited to see how she does today.
Then over to the boys, you will field a full team. In fact, a full team, you're going to have seven boys out there.
Yeah, I'm really excited about our boys team, and we're young. You know, our oldest runner is, you know, I have two of them that are sophomores, Will Radke. And he's been running varsity all season. So for him to step up to the line and be around 124 other athletes, you know, Will's going to be okay. His mind, he's used to it. He'll be fine. Gonzalo Quispe has been running JV for us all season. But he's no stranger to running varsity, and he's ran state last year and as an eighth grader. We have a couple freshmen that have been doing really well at the JV level. Cheech Harmon was seventh at ESD at the JV level. He won the Roger Lecker meet last week, and he ran a PR on this course, so hopefully he can do the same thing today. And Angel Olivo Porteo is another one that's been coming in right behind Cheech in most races, and he was 10th at ESD. So those are my high school boys that are running. And I'm super excited about the three middle school boys that are coming up. TJ Lean has been winning most of his middle school races this season. He was the ESD champ. He won the Roger Lecker meet. He's won, let's see here, the Brookings meet. Before that, he was runner-up in Watertown. And TJ Lean, as a seventh grader, I mean, he's just been running phenomenally for us. And he's a workhorse. You tell him to do something, and he does it. And he's not afraid to hurt. And that's something you need to have, that mentality, when you're a runner. And then I have a couple eighth-grade boys, Will Knipling, who ran a PR at ESD, and he was seventh place. And Cameron Cutshaw has been running really well for us, too. He's our new addition to the team this year, and it's just been fantastic to have him. So even though our boys are really young and they have a lot of work cut out for them today, they're running with the big dogs, but I think they'll do just fine. I'm excited to see them run.
And just to wrap it up, this is kind of how you've really worked on this season. You decided to let kids run at the level they felt most comfortable. Will Radke was the one who said, well, I'm running varsity then. And the rest of them, you kept them at a spot where they could have success, could build up what it takes here. And, well, now they, as you said, we'll see what they do now with the big event today.
Yeah, and this is the first year that I've kept the kids where they are. I feel like the kids need to feel some success. And by pulling them up and making them run with, you know, kids that are stronger and faster and older than they are, sometimes that wears on your psyche a little bit, you know. So I tried it out this season. I know Coach King is all for this. Our volunteer coach this year, Coach Vlieger, he agrees with me too. I mean, these kids have been training, these group of kids that we're talking about that running at state, they have been training for 5K races all season. It's just I haven't put them there in race situation. So for them to go out and run a 5K, they may not have raced a lot of 5Ks, but they still have the training and they still have the mileage for it. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be, you know, so detrimental to them. I'm really excited for how excited the whole team was this season and being able to be on the winner's stand and bringing home all the hardwood that they have this season.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country. State Cross Country begins later today at Broadland Creek. Time out. More coming up. Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking with Whitney McDonald, head cheer coach for the Huron Tigers, assistant dance coach as well. They have their state competition coming up in Aberdeen. And Whitney, first off, just an overview of the season. Your groups are usually the first ones that start the fall workouts and one of the last to have their state event. How has this season went overall?
Yeah, we start open gyms right after school is done, and these girls work very hard the entire summer and through the spring. Season has went, we've had up and downs. We have some new girls on the team. You know, they can try out for the team when they're in seventh grade, so a lot of younger girls learning the ropes of being on a varsity sport. So They have a new cheer rubric this year that I don't think the judges, they're learning. We're all learning on it. So the girls have done very well this year. They gave it their all and couldn't be more proud of them. But it's just really hard to keep up with the schools that have club teams that they're able to practice year-round, but we're giving it the best shot that we have.
Well, you mentioned tryouts there, and I think we've had this conversation in the past. You never have a problem filling out a squad. There always seems to be high interest here.
Yeah, we always have the max amount of girls. This year I have roughly 21 girls on the team. We always have girls that try out, and it's really nice to have a full squad. So encourage everyone to come and try out.
Well, you talked about the routine. Now, it's basically the same routine throughout the season with maybe some tweaks to it as you move along?
Yeah, you know, we start out the season with typically some lower skill stunts, but throughout the season we really work hard to increase those skill stunts and get to that next level, which will help us throughout the year be more competitive with those other schools.
And the girls create the routine themselves, right? Or do you have somebody that comes in and kind of guides it at the beginning?
We actually pay a choreographer to come in and have the girls learn the routine. So we don't have to come up with anything.
Tell us about the squad. And I guess you have young girls all the way up to seniors, so you have veterans. And as you just mentioned before, you have some girls that are kind of new to the competition side of it.
Yeah, I have 6 girls that are in middle school, and then I also have 7 seniors that will be graduating this year, so that's going to be a hard hit for us. Those 7 seniors have been in the program since they were in 7th grade, so they are very talented athletes, and they bring so much to this team. They have so much power and say in what we do, and encouragement and positive attitude. Going to be really hard to lose all those girls next year.
Run down those seniors. Obviously, with 7 of them, you do have a very good leadership base there.
For sure, very strong leadership base. We have J.C. Bankston, Katie Balcom, Haley Bixler, Macy Klein, Claire Tharp, Lindsay Leindecker, and Chloe Flolo.
And I'm sure you asked those girls to do a lot because, as I said, with the younger girls, a lot of this is new from practicing most every day, the long trips you have to make. You know, it's any season's going to be a grind.
Yeah, these girls put in a lot of hours. You know, we practice every single day, Monday through Friday. A lot of competitions are on Saturdays or during the week. These girls put in a ton of hours. We have open gym starting the week after school is out this year with school running late, and they're there 2 times a week, and you know, you don't see a lot of girls missing them unless there's something very important going on. Otherwise, these girls put in a lot of time and effort.
And we're talking with Whitney McDonald, head cheer coach for Huron Tigers. State meet is coming up here in Aberdeen. And talk about state. I guess you can go back to ESD last week as well. You finished in the middle of the pack. And sometimes it's a thin line between moving up a couple of spots or even dropping a couple of spots.
Yeah, we finished 5th at ESD. I was very proud of the girls. They did a very, very good job at ESD. I don't really go off of placements this year. You know, as long as they give it their best shot and they're doing everything that I ask them to do, the placement isn't important to me. I think we deserve to higher than 5th, but like I said, this new cheer rubric that these judges are doing is a little tricky, and it's new this year, so it has some tweaking to do. State should be, I'm hoping that we get in the top 10. I know that we can. My girls have worked really hard, and they deserve to get in the top 10. But, you know, like I said, it's very hard to compete with a lot of these schools. These girls are doing cheer year-round. So to be able to keep up with their skills is very hard for us to not have these girls doing cheer year-round. And sharing these girls with dance, a lot of the cheer girls in, like, the Sioux Falls teams, those girls just are in cheer. You know, so sharing athletes with dance, and a lot of these girls are in, whether it's marching band or basketball or cross, you know, they're in a lot of different sports throughout the year.
Yeah, I just brought what my next question was going to be, how many girls do cross over and do dance as well?
A lot. So all of my seniors are in dance besides one of them. And they are all pretty much in all of the routines. But otherwise, all of the girls that are in dance are on cheer. So these girls put in a lot of extra hours on top of it to not only learn three dance routines, they're also learning a cheer routine on top of it.
And not to mention the wear and tear doing both and not just one.
Oh, for sure. You know, these girls are working really hard at dance, but they're also working really hard at cheer and having to do two practices a day sometimes. We both push them very hard to give it all that they have during one practice, and then they also need to do the same during the other practice. So there's a lot of expectations that these girls meet, and I'm super proud of them.
And finally, and you mentioned it earlier, you're shooting for a top 10 finish, which you feel is easily attainable and even move up a little bit. All you have to do is impress one judge or you know, just get some of that criteria in your direction, and there, you know, there's a possibility to have a nice finish here.
Yeah, I think that we should place pretty well at state. You know, we're also making some changes from ESC to state, so my girls are working very hard. We already started making changes on Friday, and ESC was on Thursday, so this week is crunch time. We have a lot of work to do, and it's no downtime, so we'll be working really hard this week to change some things and try to get our scores up a little bit higher. So I'm hoping that their hard work pays off.
Whitney McDonald, head coach here on Tiger Cheer, and state competition coming up today in Aberdeen. We'll talk here on Tiger Dance next year on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we're back, Dakota Sports Saturday. Now we talk here on Tiger Dance with head coach Megan Smith. Tigers were ESD runner-up last week and actually won two of three categories, hip-hop and jazz. Brandon Valley, though, wins Palm by a wide margin and gets the conference title. But Megan, when you look back at it, just oh so close there.
Yeah, we had never beat Brandon Valley in jazz at ESD before, so that was a really good confidence booster for the girls. We know that our routines are good this year and that we have talented girls that can do it, so for the scores to reflect our placing on our hard work, we were very happy with that.
And then you also won hip-hop, and that's one I guess I didn't realize till you just told me here before we started. Huron's kind of controlled that in the ESD.
Yes, that's always been our strongest routine. That is the routine that's always upped our average when they combine categories when they average categories for grand champion. So that's we know our strength lies there. And again, we hadn't beat Brandon Valley this season yet in our hip hop category, and so we were also very excited that the scores reflected that as well.
But just overall, a good showing there, as I said, finishing runner-up and winning two out of three individual disciplines there. And coming into this season, I know that you have a solid group of seniors. I think they said seven over there on cheer. I assume just about all those transfer over to dance as well. And so you had some experience back.
Yes, and I didn't realize going into this season, I was very confident in our six seniors. But we almost have just as many new members on the team, and I didn't foresee going into this season how much hard work it would take to train the younger and less experienced athletes, and it just took the entire amount of this season to get them trained and up to the same level as our experienced dancers. So that was a surprise, but it's fine. Our hard work and focus on that is finally paying off.
And talk about those six seniors that you have, because really they're your extension. That probably was a big help when you had had that many inexperienced coming in, to have those experienced girls help. So those seniors had to drive the way for you.
Oh yes, every practice, a lot of time was spent like working, partnering up one on one, having half the team watch the other half the team while they were during practice and performing, and watching videos, and the older girls would point out on videos like what was incorrect and what was correct and what needed to happen. So it took a lot of patience from the seniors, but also determination from the young girls to move up our scores.
Well, talk about your seniors, because they are obviously the core of this team.
Yeah, the seniors this year, I knew this year is going to be I guess more of an emotional year. A lot of these girls have been with me for all of the six. I've coached for 7 years, and they started my second year of coaching, so I've had them from the beginning. Not all of them for the full 6 years, but they filled in on their seventh, eighth, and ninth grade year, they filled in. So I've had these girls, all of them together, for the past 4 years for sure. And so I know their skills, and I know that they have the potential to do very well at state, but I also know that with this season coming to an end, it's kind of the end of an era with these girls that have had these strong, technically difficult skills for so many years.
Well, you mentioned state now up in Aberdeen, and coming in runner-up at ESD has to give the girls confidence. You know, they can make a run here now at state, not only in the individual spots, but the overall score as well.
Yes, I feel like when we won in Mitchell last Saturday at their home competition, that gave the girls a little bit of a boost in confidence. And at that competition, we had been going back and forth with Yankton overall, and we beat them last Saturday. And so that gave us a little confidence going into ESD, and then winning the two or three categories in second and POM. And our scores were actually from judges that will be at state. That gave us more confidence, so I'm just trying to keep the ball rolling with the girls. We always want to place top four. That's always our goal. The top four teams get to bring home hardware, so that we're looking at that. But also with the scores and their performances, if they can repeat what they did at ESD at state, I think our outlook would be something to be very proud of.
Well, as you look at some of the other teams, obviously Brandon Valley, Yankton would be two to watch ESD, but you're pretty familiar with them. Talk about the Sioux Falls, the Rapid City schools. Who else is going to come in with strong squads?
Yeah. Sioux Falls, Washington is always a top dance team. Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, we're always very close with that state. I think the last 4 years, the top four teams have been Washington, Brandon Valley, Roosevelt, and us. And so we're always looking to just move one spot up if we can. So hopefully our average scores will come out in the grand champion in that favor. Otherwise, the other dance teams, Harrisburg is also very good. And if they have a good day and we have an off day, that's a possibility that they could beat us. But the scores didn't reflect that at ESD.
And talking with Megan Smith, head dance coach for the Huron Tigers, getting set for the cheer and dance finals today in Aberdeen. Let's just wrap it up with this. You mentioned you're either experienced or inexperienced, it seems like, with the squad you put out there. And, you know, while everybody's been competing this year, everybody's been practicing since basically the 1st of August, this is still a whole different deal going to that state competition. And, again, I'm sure you'll ask your senior girls, make sure these younger girls know just what they need to do, and probably more than anything else, just calm down and just do what you know how to do.
Yeah, that's all. We really focus on what the mistakes are in our videos, and we really look at what the judges are saying, and it comes down to just perfecting the tiny, tiny imperfections in the routines this week.
Megan Smith, head dance coach for the Huron Tigers, as they get set for state competition today, cheer and dance, up in Aberdeen. We'll be back with more Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we'll wrap it up. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, talking with Scott Spanton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Here on nice ending to the regular season, 51-17 win over Mitchell on Thursday night. Earns here on the number 3 seed in the AA playoffs. We'll host Yankton next Thursday. And coach, you've been talking all season, getting 48 minutes to together at one time. I'm sure you're still not willing to say that was a total 48 minutes, but a lot of things clicked on Thursday night.
Right. We we played probably our best football game as far as putting three to four quarters. Yeah, we didn't put all 48 minutes together, but overall I thought it was probably our best total complete game that we played up to this point, which was great because it was an opportunity for us going into it. We knew what the stakes were. Both teams were kind of in the same situation, so overall, I thought the kids did a great job of not only during the game, but preparing during the week. We had a short week, but again, preparation-wise, I thought that went well, and obviously that was a carryover for us. And but overall, I think that was one of our better games. If you want to put it into the category of 48 minutes, that's as close as we've come to this point. But we still have some room for improvement, obviously, and we've got to do that this week against a good Yankton team.
You know, started right off the bat where took the opening kickoff like we usually do and got down, got ourselves into a scoring position. You went for the field goal, 32 yards. Carson Duba ended up being my player of the game just because basically of that kick and then a few kickoffs into the end zone. But it was so important to score first, and you had a lot of faith in Carson, and he drilled the 32-yarder.
Right. We talked about it before we came out that, again, if we take the ball, we've got to have some kind of points to show for it. And unfortunately, stalled out a little bit. But again, between Carson and Spencer, they've done a great job all season long. They basically kick about 75% of the practice, and they fill in some gaps here and there on scout team and whatnot. But for the most part, they both have done a great job. It's been a bonus to have two kickers in that situation. We just felt, Carson was, showing that he's capable of making those kicks in practice and whatnot. So we gave him an opportunity. He came through and made a big kick for us and getting some points on the board, which I thought was crucial for us to have a good start, and that helped us.
And all phases were in on it in the first half. Special teams, I had a blocked punt. Defense had three interceptions the first half. A couple of those turnovers became touchdowns by the offense. So you had one phase setting up another.
Right. It's one of those deals where we work on those things in practice between stripping the ball, creating turnovers, and, of course, our punt block. Again, Tyson did a great job of going to the launch point and getting the block, and Kobe recovered it and almost got it in for a score, and we were fortunate enough to create, an opportunity there where we, had a short field, which we did a few times during the night, and that was important to us. Be able to create a short field and take advantage of it on the offensive side and create some points out of it. And so again, all those guys did a great job, and like you mentioned, all three phases, we were pretty sound for the most part during the evening. So it was a good overall team win in all three of those categories.
And you also weren't afraid to do a few different things. There was a hook and ladder. I just found out right before we went on the air, the bounce pass to Kobe, which he threw to Cooper Freiberger for a touchdown. Design play, that is a skip pass, you call it.
Yes, sir. It's one of those things where, again, we get in opportunities. We've got a few gimmicks, during the course of the year that we've worked on, and at times you want to pull them out, but the situation just isn't right, or the field position. And we felt at this point, we had pretty good. We were on the plus side of the field. Cade made a nice throw as far as the bounce pass, and then Kobe again. He didn't quite have enough time to sell it totally, but for the most part, he made a great throw to Cooper in the back of the end zone, and it was a big play for us. So again, that just added a little bit of fuel to the fire as far as what we had momentum-wise, and we felt that was a big play. It was designed that way, and again, we did a good job of executing it.
And staying with the offense, easily our best night running the ball this season.
Oh yeah, that was a pleasant, you know, surprise as far as, again, having an opportunity to, you know, control the clock, but also be productive in our run game and move the chains and put us in short second and third or short situations rather than being in third and long all night long, which makes a whole heck of a lot easier on the kids, and as well as the play calling. So overall, that was a very positive side for us as far as being able to come out and control the line of scrimmage and have some effectiveness running the football, which we're going to have to continue to do this coming week.
And defensively, your main defense gave up basically 3 points. Mitchell got a couple of touchdowns there late, basically, after where you pretty much had everything in hand. But defensively, you know, for the most part, we've been able to hang on the defense all season.
Right. The defense has been our big solid rock when it comes down to it. They've played real well. Sure, there's been some times where we got exposed a little bit, but for the most part, consistency-wise, when we get to the ball and we do the things like we did the other night as far as being aware of the situation and raking the ball out or stripping it and getting some deflections on the interceptions and things of that nature, then that just helps, again, add the momentum towards our offense, creating short fields. So defensively, you know, that's been, you know, a good solid, like I said, a good solid rock for us all season long, and that's got to continue. We've got to continue that this week. Hopefully we can do the same thing, creating some short field and, again, some turnovers and putting us in good field position.
And just overall, again, you had to be happy with the way things went. All three phases, everybody's got to contribute, and when you had special teams, offense and defense, everybody did their job on Thursday.
Right. I think the coaches, again, during the week, you know, did a good job preparing these kids, and same thing with the kids, you know, even the ones that don't get to play a lot that are our scout team guys. So, you know, that gets overlooked a lot. Those guys don't get a lot of credit. We try to recognize them, you know, from week to week as far as the scout team player of the week, and make it known that it is important that they give us a good look and prepare, you know, us on both sides of the ball and even in the special teams part of it. So, you know, overall, again, I thought all three phases were pretty solid all night long, and, you know, that's, again, something that we got to continue to do now when it's a situation where it's win or go home. Now the stakes are a little higher, but again, I think if we have a good week of preparation, we feel pretty good about going into this game. That, you know, and the other part of it too is when you play the same opponent again during the course of the season, you pretty much, you know, you have what you have. You're not going to reinvent the wheel when it comes down to the amount of time you have to prepare. So from that end of it, you know, we just got to look at the video and take advantage of some things on both sides of the ball. But again, if our defense can play the way they have and limit the big plays or shut down the run game, then we feel pretty good about our chances.
Now, Yankton is the opponent. We do have home field, first time in a long time. The seniors need to appreciate that fact that we were able to get there. Yankton beat them 2 weeks ago, 15-12. That was a very windy night down in Yankton. We had a big drive to open the second half that really set the tone for the rest of the game as we took the lead and basically took the wind away from Yankton at the same time. Obviously, we don't know weather conditions right now for next Thursday, but you have an idea what Yankton does, and for a third straight opponent, I think it's a team that wants to run first and go off of that.
Right. You know, their big emphasis, again, goes back to pretty much what a majority of teams that we face, and that is it's a run-oriented offense. You know, they would, I won't say up-tempo, but they did some quick huddle last time we played them. Again, they have a little bit of an advantage when it comes down to, you know, they have two platoon in their line, offense and defensive line, so therefore they don't have kids playing both ways as much as what we do. But you're right, they do like to run the football and control the line of scrimmage and control the clock. And I thought, you know, if we can, like I said, limit the amount of time that they have the football, and we do that on the offensive side to where they don't have as many opportunities, then I think, again, that bodes well for us.
As I remember that drive we had to open the second half where we took the lead and ultimately held it, we did run the ball. Walker Schultz had a couple of nice runs, and that kind of opened up that entire drive.
Right, and we've went back and, you know, scaled down some things so the kids are, again, playing fast but also confident in what they're doing and knowing where to go, and I think that's helped us. But we have to have the ability to, you know, be balanced, so to speak, in our run and pass game, and we've got to be able to move the ball running the football to set up not only our play-action pass, but, again, put us in short down situations to where, again, it gives a little more flexibility in calling plays and not have to be one-dimensional when we're always sitting there in third and long, that type of situation where they can either bring heat or drop back and play zone against us. So, you know, if we can kind of mix it up and be able to have some effectiveness running the football, then, again, that's going to help us out overall in our production.
And to wrap it up with this, everybody checked out the equipment second week of August, and this is why. This upcoming game, really, we're 5-4. Really, now we're 0-0 with the home game is where we're at.
Right. This is what, you know, you start the year off, you have high expectations, you want to get to the point where you have an opportunity. And, again, that's what we spoke about the other day in the pregame, that, you know, you guys are getting an opportunity. You put yourself in this position. A lot of kids don't ever get in this, you know, position playing high school football. So you've created a great opportunity for yourself. And now, like you mentioned, it's 0-0. Records start over. Everybody's even. So now it's just a matter of, again, you got to show up and play for that 48 minutes and lay it all out on the field. And, you know, and if we do that and take care of our business like we did this week and come back and have some consistency and be able to have that same type of performance in all three phases, then we feel like we've got a pretty good chance.
Scott Spanton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Again, here on Tigers, will host Yankton first round AA playoffs next Thursday. As usual, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock with the kickoff on 1340 KIJV, Tiger 95. Should mention as well here on KOKK next Thursday, second round of the 9B playoffs, Scotland at Wolsey Wessington. We'll have that game on the air for you as well here on Dakota Sports. Mike Hendrickson and South Dakota Sports History coming up shortly. Used to be the Sportsmax. He changed the name a couple of weeks ago. Up next, though, is Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Monty James for the Territorial Rodeo Update's Top 5 Countdown on this great American radio station. We need your help here. We're cooking up the 2019 Best of the Territory show. Your input is needed on the best restaurants and some other stuff. First step is to join us on Facebook at Territorial Rodeo Update with Monty James. Do that now. Consider the best of Charlotte Crossfeeders this fall. With the calf run just around the corner, it's your opportunity to put loads of smoky and buckskin chars together. Hybrid vigor, added performance, quiet disposition, and more in product to sell make Chartcross calves a profitable decision. When they line up at the bunk, you can almost watch them grow, putting added pounds and added profit in your pocket. Contact Colt Keffer at 765-376-8784 or your local Charlet breeder for more information. 765-376-8784. Hearken now as we present the top five at each event going into the 2019 National Finals Rodeo. Razor, lock this bad boy down and let's get it on. Kelly's Clay Bigelow Top Gun. Utah's Casey Field on his heels. Canadian Orin Larson third. Texas Twinners Tilden Hooper and Richmond Champion go 4-5. Iowa's three-time world champion Tim O'Connell lurking sixth. Watch him.
That's what we do over there. We rest and we ride dog.
Murdogan. Blue Faith Bustas. Helena Montana's Ty Erickson is top dogger. Texan Hunter Cure 40,000 back. Alberta's Scotty Gunther three spot. Ty Wagy's back at Louisiana fourth. Idaho's Stetson Jorgensen late season surge rolls fifth.
Rolling.
Team Roping headers Oki Clay Smith in front. Then Driggers, Proctor, Tryon, and Blazengame. On the heel side of the neutered formerly male bovine. Sounds like a... never mind. Brazilian Junior Nogueira number one. Then Moats, Corkle, Long, and Graves in that order. There will be testing later.
Bueller.
Saddlebrunk riding Rider Wright flying high at 225,000. Zeke Thurston of Alberta 50K back. Texan Jacob Scrawley third. Then Utah Bruce, Spencer, and Rooster Ride 4-5. Three of the top five are Wright brothers. It's the Mormon advantage. No partying and staying up all night. Sneaky.
What in the hell?
Tie down roping. Texans Caleb Schmidt, Tyson Durfee, and Tough Koopa go 1-3-4. Haven Megadeth, Miles City, Montana number two. Shane Hanchy at Louisiana rocking the fiver. Confused? Me too. Barrel racing. The Can Maidens. Nellie Miller of Cali is a lady. Texan Haley Kinzel runner up. Lisa Lockhart of South Dakota number three. Colorado Shaley Lord hath risen to fourth. Brittany Posey Tanazi or Brit Potter.